Hello, hello, America. My name is Daniel Francis Baranowski, and this is the Frankly Daniel Show. Welcome, and thank you for joining me today. I've got a packed show, so with your indulgence, I'm going to get right to it. My topic today is illegal immigration and the abject failure of the Biden administration to keep Americans safe from the economic, political, and criminal harm of overwhelming, unprecedented, and unvetted illegal immigration. I'd say that 6 million people coming into the country, most of them illegally, over the last 2 years, is the definition of a tsunami of illegal immigration. First, to the economic harm. $200 billion is the low estimate of what we are spending as taxpayers in local aid, in taxes, in schools, in hospitals, and other social services for a group of people who are largely undereducated and underskilled, and the economic damage increases daily. This amount of money goes up every moment, and it doesn't really include the costs of crime and other untoward activities that go on in our neighborhoods, and money sent back to the countries by these immigrants that work to finance more illegal immigration. I have to ask you, who benefits? We know who benefits. The cartels do. The smuggling trade fueling our immigration crisis was only $500 billion to the criminal industry in 2020. Cartels were making under $500 million a year. As you're going to hear from one of our senators today, today's take is $13 billion. It's a $13 billion juggernaut that cartels are reaping from our inability to control our border, our political unwill to control our border. And to the political harm, to what end is the Biden administration shepherding these masses of illegal aliens into the nation? And yes, I call them illegal aliens. They have no right to be here, even if they claim asylum, as you're going to see. They have no right to enter the country. 90% of those who do eventually appear before an immigration judge fail to show they have any legitimate reason for being and remaining in the country. Yet 95% of them are still here and have no plans to leave, believing that progressive activists will eventually force Congress to pass an amnesty law allowing them all to stay. Yes, the Biden administration has failed to remove more than 2 million aliens whose status has been adjudicated in immigration court. They've already had their day in court, and they've been given deportation orders. Yes, even after receiving deportation orders from the court, these aliens refuse to leave. The part of Homeland Security charged with forcibly removing them is our Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, also known as ICE. Now, the Biden administration has gutted this agency, making it little more than a name placeholder among agencies under Secretary Mayorkas. And now to the third part of this criminal, the criminal part, economic, political, and criminal. This is perhaps the most sinister, despicable, and heinous part of the Biden administration's border policies. The administration's goal is to admit as many aliens into the country as possible while they hold the White House and still the Senate. If this means looking the other way as thousands of proven law-breaking aliens enter along with the good, so be it. This is just the price that the administration is willing for us to pay as they stuff migrants into the country. Now, the Biden administration has placed the burden, both cost and human suffering, of dealing with criminal aliens on the backs of local citizens and their law enforcement agencies. After all, who do alien criminals victimize? Oh, they victimize you and your neighbors. And who do we call for help? We call the police and we call the sheriffs. Well, these are just my opening thoughts about open borders and the nightmare of uncontrolled, purposeful, illegal immigration. Today, I'm calling for the impeachment of Alejandro Nicolas Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security, for high crimes and misdemeanors as articulated in the U.S. Constitution for the removal of incompetent or politically corrupt government officers who use their offices to disobey the rule of law. Oh, you say Mayorkas is just following the wishes of the Biden administration. So if you really want immigration law to be followed as written and intended, then you should impeach Mayorkas's boss. I agree. I couldn't agree more. And I would use the Mayorkas impeachment as the basis to impeach Joe Biden. I'd also list his behavior in Afghanistan. Have you seen this ridiculous report, this 12-page report, after-action report they've just put out, blaming it all on President Trump? I'd also list the Chinese surveillance balloon. I take it you've seen the NBC reports this week that this balloon was able to transmit all the data it was photographing and all the military intelligence it was scanning. They were able to transmit it in real time back to China. And so what we've been told by the president is a bald-faced lie, but that shouldn't be of any surprise to anyone. The report is pretty extensive by NBC, and NBC has been breaking a lot of these news stories, if you've noticed, about the classified documents in the Biden garage and other places. It's very interesting. I'd also like to cite woke ideology as destroying the moral foundation of America. I think that's an impeachable offense. Just last week, Joe Biden issued his Transgender Day of Visibility, as if we don't have enough of this stuff in our face. He said, and I quote, "Transgender Americans shape our nation's soul." Really? I find this alarming. Included in my impeachment of Joe Biden, I'd also note his weaponization of our Department of Justice, including the weaponization of the FBI, meaning that I'd also impeach Merritt Garland. And while we're impeaching, why not impeach the Secretary of Uneducation for the CRT, or the critical race theory, that he's perpetrating throughout the nation's schools and the strong-arming of transgender sports in public schools? I don't know if you realize this, but boys are replacing girls and men are replacing women. 95% of all transitions are female to male. Female to male, 95% of them. What is with this perversion? I just let that sink in. I'd also impeach Mayor Pete, the notorious Secretary of Untransportation, for more incompetence than I have time to tell you about. And there are many other issues for which Joe Biden richly deserves to be impeached. You can imagine, had Trump allowed this Chinese surveillance balloon to float across America, gobbling up massive gigabytes of military data. Well, you've seen what's gone on this last week with this trial in New York. You can imagine this balloon incident. But no, Joe Biden goes out and takes out three other balloons north of America, and we have no idea what he was shooting at. I say impeach Joe Biden, but let's start. Let's start with the Secretary, Alejandro Nicolas Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Insecurity. I mean, what are we waiting for? Should we just sit back, wait and see, take the wait and see appeasement approach? I mean, that approach led to World War I, World War II, and to be more current, it's also led to what's happening in Ukraine. It took Putin 6 months to gather forces on the Ukrainian border. 6 months, and we did nothing. Biden did nothing. I should correct myself. I want to talk a little bit about chaos and why it's so important. What is chaos? Chaos is a theory that describes the qualities of the point at which stability moves to instability, the point at which order moves to disorder. The goal of progressive American Marxism is to create nationwide chaos toward advancing national confusion, cynicism, despair, malaise, apathy, and eventually resignation. We all just give up, decide fighting the progressives is more than we're willing to do, and we haven't got the time anyway, and we just let them take over the country. Oh, you say that could never happen. I think you need to look around. I won't recount all the Biden policies that are purposely aimed at creating nationwide chaos. It would simply take longer than I have today. But you know most, if not all of them. And they're a perfect subject for another Frankly Daniels show. But what's important to know for today's show is that one of the progressives, or should I say American Marxist, major efforts toward creating chaos is to stuff as many illegal aliens into our borders as possible and distribute them throughout the country. Now, you have to remember that under Barack Obama, the game was to catch and release. And eventually, they did deport many of those people they had released into the country. Oh, not under the Biden administration. Under the Biden administration, the game is to catch, release, and to distribute and travel illegals across America. They're almost impossible. It would take an impossible effort to collect these people and deport them. Now, you're going to hear senators today say they're amazed the administration has the nerve to ask for more resources to process even more illegals into the nation than they're currently packing in. For me, I'm tired of hearing that all immigrants are coming to the United States because they're looking for a better life. It's estimated, there have been several worldwide studies, it's estimated that nearly 3 billion people would migrate to the U.S. if possible, all looking for a better life. I don't blame them. But at what point is too many enough? We have surpassed 6 million in 2 years. What's next, 12 million and then 18 million? And if all these undereducated and underskilled are contributing to our economy, then why is it costing us taxpayers more than $200 billion each year? Now, you might also note that criminal aliens are also coming here for a better life, or at least better opportunities. And there have been more than 1.2 million so-called gotaways since Joe Biden became president. And this is a gross underestimate, I have to say. Mind you, these are only the ones our border cameras have detected and counted. We have wide gaps along the border. And this is according to the Border Patrol, where Mayorkas promised Border Patrol agents he would procure $2 million worth of new camera equipment. And he did this more than a year ago. Guess what? Still no cameras. The truth is, we know there is likely many, many more than 1.2 million gotaways. We don't know anything about these people. But they're here, and they're roaming the country, and woe be us. And worse yet, the Biden administration does not care. They don't give a damn. Their goal is to stuff as many migrants into the country as possible by any and every means possible as long as they hold political power. This means the bad folks come in with the good folks, and it's left to local folks to figure out who is bad and who is good. And as I've asked before, how do they discover this? What is their litmus test? It's crime. I'm also fed up with hearing that those fleeing persecution, they have the right to claim asylum in America. That is so much horse manure. It's true, they have the right. And they also have the right to declare that they're a fairy princess or Humpty Dumpty. We do not have to honor their claims, especially when they transfer multiple other safe countries to arrive at our doorstep and claim asylum. How amusing. If you are in fear for your life, get that frame of mind. You're in fear for your life. You do not land in Brazil, travel through Central America and Mexico to arrive in America as your first safe country. And what of the bizarre escalation of illegal aliens fleeing Canada to cross over into the United States? Is Canada no longer a safe country? Don't you believe billions of people would flock to our borders if entry was as simple as claiming their victims fleeing bad places? Finally, I'm fed up with progressives saying our illegal immigration problems stem from Congress's failure to reform the immigration system. Yes, we could move to a merit-based immigration system instead of a chain migration system based on who your family is in America or who you know. But you're going to hear Senator John Kennedy say today that we have all the tools currently to turn people away from the border. We don't need to write new laws. All we lack is the political will to keep our nation sovereign. Title 8, and you don't hear much about Title 8, but Title 8 of the Immigration and Naturalization Act gives us the right to just say no. To just say no to people walking across the border, regardless if they're claiming asylum. So what's the rationale behind Title 8? It should be obvious. What if 50 million people all showed up claiming asylum? Would we let all these claimants in? And if we let all these claimants in, you know, by law, we must detain them. They must be in our possession until their case is adjudicated. It's the law. Instead, the Biden administration processes illegal aliens ASAP and distributes them throughout the country, likely never to be heard from again. The only limits we currently have on illegal immigration is how fast we can process them and release them and ship them someplace else in the country. And Mayorkas wants more resources to do just that. And, oh yes, we have something called Title 42 that's going to expire in May. And everybody is apoplectic and hysterical about Title 42 going away. Title 42 as practice is ridiculous. We turn away single males only, but we allow women with children and families to enter. I'm a public health guy. How does that make any frigging sense? Are women and with children and families immune from COVID-19 or other diseases? I mean, after all, Title 42 is a CDC tool meant to keep people out of the country who might be disease carriers. As you'll hear today, we have Title 8 in the immigration law, and it's being abused, but it's the biggest tool we have that can completely and utterly control immigration on any of our borders. Today I'm going to debunk some of the crap Secretary Mayorkas has been doing and saying these past 2 years. I'm going to extensively use audio clips of Mayorkas testifying before select Senate and House committees some just 10 days ago. All senators and congressional members that I'll share with you today are Republicans. If I had 10 hours for this show, I'd play some of the Democrats questioning the secretary. But frankly, why give any airtime to the tripe and propaganda Democrats are telling us about the border? So let's start with three very simple questions. Is there a crisis at the border? Is the border secure? And is the border safer now than it was before the Biden administration? First up is Senator Ted Cruz of Texas.
Good morning, Secretary Mayorkas.
Good morning.
Is there a crisis at our southern border?
Senator, there is a very significant...
That's a yes or no question.
There's a very significant...
Is there a crisis?
Senator, there's a very significant challenge...
I think your microphone is not on.
There is a very significant challenge that we are facing.
Yes or no, is there
border.
A crisis?
I believe I've addressed that question,
So you're
Senator.
Refusing to answer?
Senator... There is a very significant challenge, and
will you answer if there's a crisis?
Therefore, we are dedicating the resources.
Okay, so you're refusing to answer. Well, Secretary Mayorkas, I'll tell you someone who is willing to answer, which is your and President Biden's chief of the Border Patrol in a sworn deposition in July of 2022 when asked, would you agree, Chief Ortiz, that the southern border is currently in crisis? Answer, yes. Notice none of those wiggle words, none of that equivocation. One word, one syllable, yes. Are you willing to speak with the same clarity as Chief Ortiz? Is there a crisis at our southern border, yes or no?
Senator, I'm very proud to work alongside...
But you refuse to answer. Let me ask you the next question.
Now, you may have thought that Ted Cruz is a little tough on Mayorkas, but the truth of the matter is you're going to see Mayorkas doesn't answer questions. And the whole game is like a rope-a-dope game. It's a, how much time can you waste answering the questions? How much filibustering can you do along the way so that you never answer anything accurately? And that's Mayorkas' whole shtick. Even when he gives answers, they're the wrong answers, or they're just flat-out lies. So you're going to see more of this. It's a very interesting process. This next clip is a piece from 60 Minutes that was just run last week of Mayorkas first responding to a congressman in a House setting just about 3 months ago about the security on the border, and then the follow-up by the 60-minute interviewer.
Secretary Mayorkas, do you continue to maintain that the border is secure?
Yes, and we are working day in and day out to enhance its security, Congressman. Right.
What the American people see is a border that looks to be chaotic, that looks to be porous.
Well, the number of people that are arriving at our border is at an extraordinary height. There's no question about that. But that is not unique to the southern border of the United States. There is a tremendous amount of movement throughout the hemisphere and, in fact, throughout the world.
The chief of the Border Patrol, Raul Ortiz, testified before Congress that some areas of the border are in a crisis situation. Do you agree?
I think that we face a very serious challenge in certain parts of the border.
Do you view what's happening right now on the border as a crisis?
I view it as a significant challenge.
Why won't you say the word crisis?
You know what? Because I have tremendous faith in the people of the Department of Homeland Security. And a crisis speaks to me of a withdrawal from our mission. And we are only putting more force and more energy into it.
What a ridiculous definition. A crisis is a situation in which you've withdrawn from. Does that make any sense? And while Mayorkas may have tremendous faith in the people that are guarding the border, they have no faith in him. Here's an audio clip of testimony given in a deposition in July of 2022 to the Florida Attorney General, because there are 20 states suing the Biden administration and Secretary Mayorkas for the illegal immigration that's impacting their states. And the interviewee is Chief Raul Ortiz, who is the chief of the Border Patrol.
Would you agree, Chief Ortiz, that the southern border is currently in crisis?
Objection.
Yes.
Would you agree, Chief Ortiz, that unprecedented numbers of aliens are illegally entering the United States right now?
Objection.
Yes.
When President Biden was elected, did the number of aliens trying to illegally enter the United States increase or decrease?
Objection.
Increase.
From your 31 years of experience, has the Border Patrol in a year ever had the number of encounters that it's going to have in 2022?
Objection.
No.
Is the crisis that is currently ongoing at the southern border making the border less safe for Americans and aliens alike?
Objection.
Yes.
Since President Biden was elected, does this document indicate that aliens illegally entering the United States perceive that they will be able to enter and remain in the United States?
Objection.
Yes.
If you'll notice, there is, just before answering the question, someone says objection. This is the attorney for Homeland Security who was sent with Chief Ortiz to answer these questions. And every question he was asked, there was an objection to. But the chief went ahead and answered it anyway. I thought that was really quite remarkable. This next clip is of John Kennedy, the senator from Louisiana, who's got a down-home style of interviewing, and I want to play this clip for you, even though it's off-topic, it's very much on-topic, because you're going to see exactly how Mayorkas answers these questions and tries to run the clock out, and how Kennedy handles it. Now, Kennedy's got a lot more to say about immigration, so stay tuned, but I thought this was a pretty interesting exchange.
Mr. Secretary, do you agree with the president that we should ban the private ownership of assault weapons in America?
Senator, I do.
What is an assault weapon?
It is, for example, an AK-47.
Can you give me a definition other than just pointing to a specific weapon? Would there be other weapons besides an AK-47 you would ban?
Very well are, and I remember when I was a federal prosecutor in the Central District of California from September 25th, 1989 to, I believe it was, April 2001.
And I thank you for your service,
the vast majority of law enforcement officers, leaders with whom I worked were greatly in support of the assault weapons
ban.
Mr.
Chairman, you know why we get so frustrated with you? Because you won't give straight answers.
I think I just did.
No, you didn't. Do you have a definition of an assault weapon?
I am confident there is a technical definition of what is an assault weapon, and it was assuredly used in the context of the statute that previously existed banning assault weapons.
I've got several things to say about this. First off, AK-47s are illegal in America. You can't own one. You can own maybe some special model that's an antique or whatever, but you can't own one and you can't use one in public. That's for definite. This guy has been a federal prosecutor for 11 years in Los Angeles, and he has no idea what an assault weapon is, but he's sure other people have ideas about that. Now, this is the Secretary of Homeland Security, and firearms is a big deal. Or at least you would think it would be, but who knows. But take notice, this is how Mayorkas answers everything. He goes off on a tangent, and you just never know where he's going, and people have to call him back. And you're going to find, as we play more clips of Ted Cruz, he gets a little pushy about all this baloney. And before we go to break, we certainly cannot forget how the administration, right at the top, Joe Biden, feels about the Border Patrol.
You said on the campaign trail that you were going to restore the moral standing of the U.S., that you were going to immediately end Trump's assault on the dignity of immigrant communities. Given what we saw at the border this week, have you failed in that promise? And this is happening under your watch. Do you take responsibility for the chaos that's unfolding?
Of course I take responsibility. I'm president, but it was horrible what to see, as you saw. To see people treated like they did, horses barely running them over, people being strapped, it's outrageous. I promise you, those people will pay. They will be, an investigation underway now, and there will be consequences. There will be consequences. It's an embarrassment, but it's beyond an embarrassment. It's dangerous. It's wrong. It sends the wrong message around the world. It sends the wrong message at home. It's simply not who we are.
The Wellness Company shares your values and fights for medical freedom. They put patients before profits and follow medical science, not political science like doctors on the left. Their chief medical board, which includes Dr. Peter McCullough, are the makers of the incredible American-made high-quality spike formula. If you worry about spike proteins, go to twc.health and use promo code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount. Once again, that's twc.health, promo code OUTLOUD.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
If you're like me, you'd like life to return to some kind of normal. You're burned out on all the fear-mongering, but deep down you try and minimize viral exposure and your risk of getting sick. You've heard it talked about time and again by respected medical professionals. Use a povidone iodine nasal solution. I don't need to tell you just how powerful a nasal cleansing formula with xylitol, povidone iodine, and vitamin D3 for immune support could be. In fact, my attorney told me not to tell you. Google it and find out for yourself. Now, get yourself a bottle of American-made Cofix RX Nasal Solution. Let's get out and live again. CofixRx.com. That's CofixRx.com. Use coupon code OUTLOUD and get 20% off.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold, too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. Well, we know you because we are you. AmericaOutloud.com. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Frankly Daniel Show. I've got two words to start the second half off, and the first is homeland, and the second is security. Now, I've never really liked the term homeland. It's always reminded me of Europe, or motherland and homeland and those kinds of terms, and the Nazis always talked about their motherland and their homeland. But we've adopted it after 9/11, and I can go with it. But when you combine homeland with security and the name of Alejandro Nicolas Mayorkas, homeland security has become an oxymoron. Now, Pat Fallon, who is a Republican in the House, has filed for articles of impeachment for Mayorkas. And he did that in January of 2023, and it's been referred on to the Judiciary Committee under Jim Jordan. Now, I know the House has got a lot of stuff on its plate, and they're going about it very well. I'm really happy with the committee work and subcommittee work that they're doing. And despite all the pushback they're getting from the Democrats, who also just interrupt all these committee meetings, if you watch any of them, just to run the clock out. They have nothing to say. They have ridiculous claims to make, and they interrupt people in mid-speech. It really is quite instructive to watch some of this stuff. But I do think that this impeachment of Mayorkas has got to come up before the 2024 elections, because it really exposes just how vacuous and destructive the Mayorkas policies are. And of course, as we've talked about this before, he's following Joe Biden, who's following whatever the progressives in the White House say, really the American Marxist. I know. Why impeach Mayorkas? Biden's just going to replace him with somebody else. And on top of that, you'd never get to impeachment because you need two-thirds of the Senate to impeach him. And we already know we're not going to get two-thirds, especially with the rhinos we have in the Senate, to go ahead and convict him. Beside that, the last cabinet official to have been impeached was in 1876. But going through the impeachment process would really highlight just how ridiculous these woke policies of the Biden administration are and how terribly destructive they are. Well, I'd like to quickly return to these questions of security, safety, and crisis to some extent. But let's go next to the issue of security.
Mr. Secretary, our southern border is not secure, is it?
Senator, I have spoken about this. I believe I've addressed this earlier in the hearing.
Why don't you address it again?
Of course. Let me share with you a few things. Number one, when I speak of the security of the border, I am speaking of maximizing the resources we have to deliver the most effective results.
So
let me assure you that we are secure
because we're trying to secure it. Are we succeeding?
Senator, we are so focused on the security of our southern border. We are doing so much with respect to the surge of personnel. You're not succeeding. Oh, Senator, let me share with you that the challenge of migration that we are experiencing at our southern border is not exclusive to the United States. It is something that is gripping the entire hemisphere.
But my job is to worry about the United States.
As is mine.
What we are experiencing with illegal immigration is what the Biden administration calls irregular migration. In other words, it's not supposed to be happening, but since everybody else in the world is experiencing this explosion of migration, we're just like everybody else. Well, that's a frank lie, and it's just utter ridiculous propaganda. People that are transversing Mexico to get to the United States aren't migrants to Mexico. They're on their way here. Secondly, there's no other nation like America, a Western country, a democracy, that has open borders. Nobody has experienced this kind of influx. Those numbers that are being counted in our hemisphere of these countries going up in immigration, these are people waiting to make their way to the United States. They're not going to settle in El Salvador or Nicaragua. Come on already.
When I speak of the security of the border, I am speaking of maximizing the resources we have to deliver the most effective results.
This little clip was a repeat of what Mayorkas just said. But I ask you, have you ever heard anyone define success in securing a border or anything else based on how much effort you're putting into it? How would you define that you have a secure home? because you're really trying to make your home secure with the resources you have. That's your definition of success. But this is the definition that Mayorkas uses over and over in the House and the Senate, regardless of whether it's in July or it's in January that he's giving testimony. This kind of reasoning is very akin to Mayorkas' testimony about, can you define an assault weapon? Well, that's simple. An assault weapon is whatever I say it is. Let's return to the question of safety. If this was a witness, you would probably ask the judge to instruct the witness to answer the questions.
Has the crisis at our southern border made Americans less safe? Yes or no?
Senator, we are dedicated to the safety.
Has the crisis made Americans less safe? I don't want a discourse. It's a yes or no question.
Senator, we have a challenge of...
You refuse to answer the question.
Not...
Mr. Secretary, let me show you how someone doing his job answers a question in a straightforward manner. Chief Ortiz, is the crisis that is currently ongoing at the southern border making the border less safe for Americans and aliens alike? Answer, yes. One word, one syllable, three letters. That's how someone answers a question and does their job. You're being a politician misleading the American people. Let me give you a chance again. Will you show the same integrity Chief Ortiz shows? Is the crisis at the southern border making Americans less safe? Yes or no?
Senator, we have 260,000.
You refuse to answer the question. Let's move on.
Let's stick with Ted Cruz and stay on the topic of safety.
And security of the
American people. Next question, Mr. Mayorkas. Has the crisis made aliens less safe? Yes or no?
Senator, we are seeking...
So you won't answer that question either.
If you...
It's a yes or no. Has it made aliens less safe?
Senator, smugglers are exploiting...
Has the crisis made aliens, yes, less safe? Are you willing to answer it?
Senator, the smuggling organizations...
Okay, you're filibustering again. Let me ask you this question. How many migrants have died under President Biden?
Senator, your phrasing of the question is actually quite misleading.
How many migrants died in 2022?
Approaching our southern border?
Yes.
Precisely why... We are seeking to exclude the smuggling.
Do you know the answer? Do you know how many died?
I do not.
You do not. Of course you don't. I know how many died. 853.
That is
853. And by the way, here are the numbers that have died every year. You go back to 1998, you see it's consistently between 300 and 400, 304 to 300, 400. Suddenly, 2021, what happens? You get in office, and that red line are dead bodies. I've been on the Rio Grande, and I've seen dead bodies floating there who've drowned because of your refusal to do your job. You don't even know how many have died. What do you say to the Texas farmers and ranchers who find pregnant ladies dead on their property, who find toddlers dead on their property? What do you say to them?
I say that is why precisely we are taking it to the smuggling organizations.
But you are not. That is simply not true.
Number two, it is... But
this business of dead aliens is no laughing matter, that's for sure. Behind it, Ted Cruz, he had a huge graph of these deaths that have been found on our side of the border. The graph bounces around 300, 400, 400, 300, 300, 400. Then all of a sudden, the line just goes straight up. But this is also just the price the administration has to pay to pack as many aliens as they need to in the country. If people die along the way, well, stuff happens, you know. Why do we have all of these people trying to get into our country? Because they've been told they can. And the proof has been in the pudding, they can. As you will find out going forward in today's show, that over 85,000 children have been encountered by the Border Patrol and taken into America and handed over to HHS. HHS has no record of more than about 400 of these children as to where they are, how to contact them, how they're doing, whether they've been included in human smuggling, anything whatsoever. This is also just part of what you have to put up with. You look really good taking these children in, because we wouldn't send children back. But nobody follows up with where they go and what happens to them. Are they part of the slave labor market here in America? Are they in other kinds of smuggling activities? Very curious problem. And you must remember, if we didn't have open borders, we wouldn't be having these problems.
Let me ask you a different question. How many children have been sexually assaulted by human traffickers under the Biden administration?
Senator, this is precisely why We instituted.
I don't want a lecture. It's a question. How many children have been sexually assaulted by human traffickers under your administration?
Senator, this is exactly why on January 5th we announced the parole program.
Do you know how many? Do you know how many children have been sexually assaulted?
This is why we.
Okay, you're going to refuse to answer that question as well. Let's move on. It's obvious you've been instructed to stonewall, so I'm not going to let you. You don't get to stonewall and filibuster.
Wow, that was intense and pretty forceful. Let's switch up and go to Ashley Hinson, who's a U.S. representative for Ohio's 2nd Congressional District. She sits on the Appropriations Committee, and just 10 days ago, they were talking to Mayorkas about his budget. Now, she talks very fast, so you've got to pay attention.
Our department, since 2006, every single year, has depended upon the department.
I'm not asking about 2006, Mr. Secretary. I'm asking about how many agents you're planning to add to your list. I believe the number is 350 Border Patrol agents, if I'm correct.
350 Border Patrol agents in fiscal year 2024, right. And this fiscal year we added 300, the first time since 2011.
Is this what CBP is telling you they need to be able to secure the border and provide that operational security? Is that the number, or is it more?
It's 300. Remember something, if I may, Congresswoman, that there is a limit to how many we can actually functionally hire in a particular year. We need more Border Patrol agents than 350.
Which is my biggest concern, because there's 800 or so of those positions that are open right now. So I guess my biggest question is, when you look at 19,000 staffed Border Patrol agents, which is what we have right now, funded for 19,800, 800 of those positions are currently open. So when you're coming to us and saying you need more Border Patrol agents, the policies of this administration have truly affected retention for CBP. So when we're down 800 currently, how can you tell me realistically that when you're coming to us to ask for these many new positions, you're going to be able to feasibly actually hire this many new people?
Oh, Congresswoman, we are intensely focused on recruiting and retention. And as a matter of fact, I spoke with the International Association of the Chiefs of Police just last week about the challenges of recruiting and retention, not specific to the federal government, but with respect to law enforcement across this country.
You can already see that the Mayorkas has got some credibility issues. He's currently budgeted for 19,800 positions, but there are 800 open positions. Attrition has been high and morale is low. Mayorkas is asking for only 300 new agents to that, meaning he has to fill about 1,100 positions, and he needs 350 more for 2025. These are all agents that are needed to do more processing, not actually to protect the border. How is it that the IRS can hire 87,000 agents, yet the DHS has problems with hiring? Now, Joe Biden and Mayorkas have yet to apologize for the migrant whipping incident that never happened. You know, all those agents on horseback during the Haitian border crisis, they were all exonerated. Let's go ahead and hear just a little more from Ms. Hinson.
Mr. Secretary, are you aware of how many times in your budget request you mentioned the word cartel?
No, I'm not, but I must say I respectfully disagree.
Mr. Secretary.
Oh, Congresswoman,
In the 100-page document that you submitted, you mentioned the word cartel zero. You mentioned transnational gangs once, if that's your preferred way of addressing the term, what you call cartels. I'm very concerned when you say you're addressing the cartels in unprecedented ways. The cartel activity along the southern border and in the homeland has escalated, and I can say both times that I have visited the southern border, I have seen that countering the cartel activity was a number one concern for our CBP agents. But it's a clear indication that you're not listening to the men and women on the front lines. Would you agree that the cartels are a cause of the uptick of the deadly fentanyl surge in our country and the violence at our southern border?
I agree 100% with that, and I disagree with 100% of your mischaracterizations of our commitment to border security, to tackling the cartels, to battling fentanyl. And the fact is that we are supporting fully the men and women, the personnel of the Department of Homeland Security.
Well, the fact is that, Mr. Secretary, with all due respect, we were here a year ago, and it feels a little bit like deja vu when I was asking you if you were hearing about the morale within the department at CBP, when the chief of the Border Patrol is telling us that the border is not secure and that men and women at the border feel disrespected by the policies of this administration. It's very clear to me, sir, that there's a lot more work to be done and that you need to listen better to the men and women who are putting their lives on the line every single day.
Really sounds like Mayorkas is taking it to those cartels. Boy, he's letting them know who's boss. So let's hear from Senator Marsha Blackburn.
I want to go to this issue of human smuggling. And under this administration, the human smuggling business has gone from being a $500 million a year business to a $13 billion a year industry. And we heard from Secretary Becerra last week at our Senate Finance Committee. And we've got 85,000 unaccompanied alien children, migrant children, who have been released in the U.S. The HHS has lost track of these unaccompanied children. So my question to you is this. How many of these children are being trafficked? How many of these children are being put into the sex trade? What are you doing to try to find these children? And when you look at what is happening to women and children, do you all understand that it is the policies of this administration, what you're doing on the border, that is causing 85,000 children to be lost, can't find them, and not knowing if they're being trafficked, put in gangs, put in the sex trade? So what are you all doing to find these children? And do you understand that it is the policies that is causing this?
85,000 lost children. This was the priority of the administration. But they can't find them. Well, you know, shit happens when you're busy stuffing the country with illegal aliens. Just stuff happens you can't control.
One of the reasons why we are devoting our worksite enforcement resources and energies on unscrupulous employers is precisely for the reason that you identify. We must hold accountable employers who engage in child labor.
I appreciate that. Let's look at it.
With respect to the border.
Yeah, and let's look at it this way.
Two efforts we have underway. One is we are taking it to the smugglers in an unprecedented
Haven't gotten that message.
Oh, yes, they have.
I beg to differ, because the situation, it is now a $13 billion a year business.
Whoa, is that interesting. So this is how they're protecting all those children. They're going to all their disreputable employers that they know about, and they're checking to see none of these children are in there doing slave labor. That is very comforting. Not to mention that Mayorkas is taking it to those cartels, and they're really feeling the pain, although he failed to mention cartels at all in his 100-page budget. That's their devotion to taking it to the cartels. The cartel business is thriving along the American-Mexican border, and it is a tribute to the entrepreneurial spirit that's alive and well on the other side of the border. I gotta tell you, nobody questions witnesses like Senator Ted Cruz.
What are these wristbands?
I don't know what they are.
You don't know what they are. Mr. Secretary, you have just testified to the American people you're incompetent at your job, because I've been to the southern border, and if you go to the southern border, along the southern border, you see thousands of these wristbands, because the illegal immigrants wear them. The drug cartels, every color corresponds to how many thousands of dollars they owe the cartels. You have turned these cartels into multi-billion dollar criminal organizations, and these are modern day leg irons, because these are children being sold into sex slavery, and you don't even know what they are. That is astonishing.
I mean, really, who in America doesn't know about these wristbands? I mean, it's been all over the news for more than a year now. I think it's obvious that, you know, the Border Patrol doesn't tell Mayorkas anything. They don't trust the guy. And I don't think he's all that bright. Oh gosh, time is ever so short, and I want to get a few more clips in. Here is John Kennedy with a really novel idea that's not so novel if you just look at Title VIII.
Why don't you just declare a new policy that, other than children, if you present at the southern border, you claim refugee status, you claim political asylum, and you haven't claimed refugee status and political asylum at the first safe country, then you can't come in.
By the way, this is the UN's definition of asylum and refugee. Let us continue to listen as Senator John Kennedy works his magic on poor, uninformed, and very confused Secretary Mayorkas. You can hear Mayorkas' mind working. You don't understand, Senator. We're trying to stuff the country with aliens, not keep them out of the country.
Senator, so first of all, when one presents at the border, it's an asylum claim, not
a
refugee.
But why don't you do that? Why don't you just unilaterally declare that it, a safe third country policy? It would work. You can't come into America. If you're coming from Venezuela and you come through Mexico, if you didn't claim asylum in Mexico, you can't come here. You have to leave. Why don't you just do that?
Well, Senator, let me give you an example with respect to Mexico. A safe third country agreement, let's hypothetically assume—
You don't have to have an agreement with Mexico.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
I believe you do, Senator.
No, you don't.
I'll have
Other countries don't do it. Just adopt a policy that says, except for children, because you don't want to send children back by themselves. Just adopt a new policy that if you didn't seek asylum in the first safe third country, you can't come in, period. You've had 2 years to adopt a policy like I just described. Why haven't you done it?
So, Senator, what we have done is—
haven't you done that?
We have surged enforcement resources. We have
You just adopted? Please, if you would, Mr. Secretary, answer my question.
It is my understanding.
Why haven't you adopted unilaterally a safe third country policy? That would stop, except for children, all the folks from the Northern Triangle countries, all the folks from Venezuela, all the folks from Cuba, all the folks from the Middle East from coming into our country. Why haven't you done that?
Senator, he hasn't done that because he's created an app now where the Venezuelans, the Haitians, the Cubans, and the Nicaraguans, they can go ahead and apply for asylum online, where they're not vetted, they're met at a port of entry, and they're let into the country. And he's claiming this has cut down 95% of those people that were coming through the southern border. Therefore, it's a victory for everybody. You just don't get it, Senator. The object is to get people in, not to keep people out.
Let me finish, if I may.
Sure.
I would have to review the legal underpinnings of your assertion.
Well, you better get reviewing.
And I also—
You ought to get reviewing. This is the first time that's occurred to you.
I also do not think that that is sound policy.
You don't think that's— This is the first time that's occurred to you?
I also do not think that that is sound policy, that we should shut down our entire asylum system.
I didn't say shut down the entire asylum system. I said safe third country. All you have to do, Mr. Secretary, if you're really serious, and it's beginning, frankly, to appear that you're not, is adopt a policy that says we're not seeking anyone's agreement. We don't have to. If you're coming from another country, and you come through, let's say, Mexico, and you say you're seeking asylum, you have to seek it in Mexico or the other first safe third country, or you can't come in. Period. Done. End of story.
Next up is Josh Hawley, and we're going to move like lightning because we've just got a few minutes left.
Senator, we are working on diminishing the number of people whom we encounter at our southern border because of the challenge it presents. We're trying to build lawful, safe, and orderly pathways to accomplish that.
Okay, fewer. So we need to have fewer, which means we need to roll back incentives to come. So I would have thought that would have been the answer. Let's talk about what you're doing, though. In January of this year, you rolled out a new phone app called CBP1, an app for a cell phone. I've got a picture of it behind me here. This phone app allows, and I'm going to quote from your own fact sheet, it allows, and I quote, non-citizens without appropriate documents for admission to schedule an appointment to come to the border. They can now go on their phone and schedule a time to come to the border and then be admitted. And you identified 7 separate border points of entry where they could come. 5 of them in Texas, 2 of them in California, 1 in Arizona. It's like a concierge service for illegal immigrants. My question is, you didn't think the border crisis was bad enough that now we're going to have an app that allows illegals to schedule their appointments and come and be admitted to this country?
Senator, you're mischaracterizing the use of the application. Let me explain it to you. We are currently enforcing the public health order of Title 42, and I know you're very familiar with it. There is a process for individuals who claim an exception to the Title 42 expulsion authority because of an acute medical condition.
Well, let's talk about this
urgent,
app.
If I may finish, an urgent humanitarian reason. So instead of them coming in between the ports of entry to claim that urgent medical condition, that extraordinarily acute humanitarian cause, we allow a limited number to arrive at our ports of entry and seek the emergency relief that they need.
You made it available on January 5th to the illegals themselves. You don't have to be a lawyer to use it. You don't have to be a member of a non-governmental organization. Anybody can download the app and use it on their phone. And for the first time, you allow them to schedule appointments. Now, let's talk about what actually happens when they come to the border. It's interesting. You characterized this when you rolled it out as an application for applying for asylum. But nowhere on the app do you actually require the illegal migrants to apply for asylum or to claim asylum or anything about asylum. And in fact, when they then get to the border, you don't ask them questions, you don't do interviews, you just release them. Here's the Texas Monthly, not a notable conservative outlet, who reports, and I quote, "At no point does the app ask users, are you seeking asylum? Those arriving for the CBP-1 appointments are given no interviews, asked no questions about vulnerabilities that they may or may not have listed in the app or about why they're coming to the United States. They're simply released into the country," end quote.
Well, that does it for today. Thank you for being with me. Until next week, God bless.